Remember, we're starting on Ayin Tet Amud Aleph. The Gemara just brought down the two answers, the two possible answers for the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. The question of what the stira is actually a machloket to Rashi and Tosafot over here. Abai's answer is Hadidei Hadurabei, that the difference between the two statements or the two positions that we have here is one is the of Rabbi Yehuda himself. One of his is Rabbi Yehuda saying over the position of his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel. Rava offered an alternative, and Rava's alternative is that we're talking about a case of Tuma Durabanon. In the Tuma Durabanon, the Rabbanon were not gozer. In certain instances, for Mar'eh, they went back to the core Din Deoraita, which is Rov will dictate and not Mar'eh. So now we're in the middle of Ayin Tet Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, Amar Rabbanon Bitama, Amar Rabbanon Biruba, Amar Rabbanon Bechazuta. The Rabbanon used all three of these principles. One is tam, that taste will dictate. One is rov, will dictate. And one of them is chazuta, appearance will dictate. What is that? Min, b'she'enu mino b'taimo. When we're talking about min, she'enu mino, we're talking about two different items, two distinct items. Then they went on a third tam. Min b'mino. On the other hand, when it's the same min, biruba, they went after the rov. Hecha de'ika chazuta, in an instance where there is appearance, then b'mareh, they went after the mareh. Upliga de Rabbi Eliezer. And this disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. Not this of Rava, but rather the statement of Reish Lakish. The statement of Reish Lakish that we've been dealing with until now is this statement of Reish Lakish back from Ayin Chedem with Aleph, where we said Shemami Na Talat, that we learned three things out of the statement of Reish Lakish. One is Yisurim Mevatlim Zedzeh. Number two is No Tein Tam Berov is the Lav Deoraita. And number three is Hatrat Safek Lo Shema Hatra. So over here we say Upliga de Rabbi Lazar. This disagrees with Rabbi Lazar. Damar Lazar Kishem She'ein Mitzvot Mevatlot Zu Etzu. So Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that first principle which Reish Lakish brought down, which is Reish Lakish says, just like Heter is Mevatel Isur, so too Isur is Mevatel Isur. Rabbi Eliezer says that's not true. That Isur is not Mevatel Isur. How do I know? Because just like Mitzvot cannot be Mevatel one the other, so too Isurim cannot be Mevatel one the other. Man Shmaitle Damar in Mitzvot Mevatlot Zo Etzo. Who is the author of such a position that mitzvot cannot be mevatlot each other? Hillel he. It's Hillel HaZakein. D'tanya, we have a bright Amru Alav al Hillel HaZakein, Shea Korchan bevat achat. He used to bring them together. Ve'ochlan. Mishim shenemar, because it says, Amatzot omirorim yochlu. So what did Hillel used to do? Hillel used to eat it as korech. This is the korech of Hillel. Hillel used to be yotzei the mitzvah of achilat matzah maror in a sandwich, in one shot. Now, what we're missing here in the Gemara in Zvachim is found in the Gemara in Pesachim. There's a machloket over there between Hillel and Chavirav and the Rabbanan. Hillel says that the way to be yotzei the mitzvah is to have them together, be korech biyachad, korcham biyachad, you put them together and you eat them as a sandwich. There's a brayta, there's an Amar Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Pesachim who says, Chokin alav ayu chavirav shel Hillel HaZakein. That his friends, his peers in the Beit Midrash argued with him. And then he brings the Tanya, we have a brayta that comes afterwards. There is machloket the Balam Mor and the Ramban, who the brayta falls, is actually a machloket in the Girsa. The Balam Mor believes that the brayta at this point was a proof to Hillel, whereas the Ramban opposed the Girsa like the Rif, that this is actually a proof to Chavirav Shel Hillel, those that argued on Hillel. And there it says, Yochel, I would have thought that you can only eat it like Hillel. I thought you could only do it like Hillel with Korech. And then the brayta brings down, Amatzot, Umrarim Yochlu. Yochluhu, that each one can be eaten separately. Not that there's a demand like Hillel HaZakein to eat it to be Yachad, but one has the option to eat it separately. And so there, the Gemara says, Hilkach. Therefore, since Lo Yitmar Mar Hilkach Tokamar, Lo Yitmar Hilkach Tokamar, since we don't have Aloha, it's not definitive that the Aloha is like Hillel, and it's not definitive that the Aloha is not like Hillel, like it's Haverim. Therefore, what do we do? Avdin and Leshtem, we do both of them. So we first do each one separately. We eat the Matzah and Maror separately. And afterwards, we do it, Zeichel Mikdash, Ki Hillel. And afterwards we do it just like, hello, we do Zecher LeMikdash, and we do Korech afterwards. What is the problem? The problem over there, the Gemara says, is when it comes to mitzvot. If it's a mitzvah de'oraita, neged a mitzvah de'oraita. If it was matzah de'oraita, mara de'oraita, they're not mevat both achat de'sheni. They would not be mevat to each other. Mitzvah de'rabanan versus mitzvah de'rabanan, lo mevat both. They're not mevatel one at the other. What's the problem here? Is we have de'oraita and de'rabanan. Bizman hazeh, where maror is only a din de'rabanan, and matzah is a din de'oraita, if I was to eat them together, then the maror de rabbonon would come and wipe out the matzah that is de oraita. So having the maror there would ruin my eating of the matzah de oraita. So therefore we don't allow you today to just go ahead and do it like Hillel. You say, no, wait, go ahead and first do matzah and maror separately, so that you are mekayim the mitzvah de oraita of matzah by itself. And then afterwards we put it together, we say have matzah and maror together. Now, the Ramban, in the Milchomas Hashem, says, well, why don't we do this? Why not just eat matzah by itself first? You know, it's in the mitzvah d'oraita. And then have matzah and maror together in the sandwich. Why do you need the maror to be eaten separately as well? Well, he says, why is that any different? If maror d'rabbonon can cause a bittul to the matzah d'oraita, then matzah shel reshut. I've already been yotzei, the mitzvah d'oraita of matzah. The matzah I'm eating now is optional, I'm just eating together with the maror. That optional matzah will be mevatel the maror d'rabbanan. Just like the rabbanan can be wiped out d'oraita, so too a matzah reshut will wipe out the maror d'rabbanan. Therefore I have to have both of them separately first, each one independently first, and then only afterwards eat them together.
Why?
No, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, where both of them had d'oraita, then maybe Hillel's right. Today, for sure, we can't be noeg like Hillel, because one's d'oraita, one's d'rabbanan. We can't only do Hillel today, because for sure, Hillel doesn't work today.
You don't even need, if you didn't have enough, I mean...
If it was a din d'oraita, maybe the halacha is, I'm a sotamar mechlu, like Hillel, that you have to eat them together. That's right, lo yidmar kamar kamar, we don't know who the halacha is like. If it's like the rabbanan, like Hillel, if Hillel was right, we have to eat them together.
And even d'oraita today, we would still...
If they was d'oraita, but if it's Beit HaMikdash, if the Beit HaMikdash was here, maybe Hillel's right, then we have to eat him that way. Today, can't be. Hillel cannot be right today because you have mitzvot, b'mevat lo, tachat d'sheni. So because of that, we only do Hillel Zeichel HaMikdash. But if it was Bizman HaMikdash, when they were both d'oraita, it's possible that Hillel's the right way. What is interesting, and this is the Ramban in the Milchomos over there, he says, wait a minute. The Gemara over here say, who is the author of the position that ein mitzvot, b'mevat lo, zu? The Gemara here says it's Hillel. Well, do the Chachamim disagree with Hillel? Do the Chachamim and Psachim or his Chavirav Shecholkim Alav, do they disagree with that? No. They agree with that. They just have a posuk. They darshan the posuk on Matzot Morim Yochlu that each one has to be eaten separately. They have a specific drasha that says over here we demand it to be eaten separately. Not, they don't demand it to be eaten separately because it's mitzvot mevat lo zuadzu. They demand it be eaten separately because that's the drasha in a posuk.
Yeah, but we know Hillel doesn't.
Right, so that's what the Ramban says. Maybe when the Gemara says Hillel, we know that's like the header of the sugya. It's like etc. Or, like what you're saying, is that by Hillel it's written explicitly. We know that he explicitly says that mitzvot would be problematic, or would be mevat lo zuadzu, because we say mitzman hazeh, you can't eat korech kehillel.
This is another example of where you don't know if the pasuk is telling you that this is an exception to the rule of mitzvot mevat lo zuadzu, or...
Right, so the Ramban over there in Milchomas tries to show beforehand that the Ramban don't disagree with Hillel, that they only disagree on this one point. After he's done that, then he says, what do I do with this Gemara and Zvachim? After I explained that the Rabbanon only disagreed with Hillel about that, they agree that you could do it like Hillel. They just think maybe you could do it the other way as well. So then, once they do that, he says, what's the Gemara and Zvachim doing? Why is it only bringing
Hillel? Hillel himself might hold that they aren't about themselves, except that in this situation, the Torah said...
Right, but Hillel is more explicit there. In the Gemara and Psachim, it's more expansive. There it's clear that he holds that they are Emvat Lodzuadzu.
In addition, if you look at the Tosfot in Masechet Psachim, Akuf Tevav, he asks your question and tries to figure out why is it, based on their shitot, that the pasuk is driving their shitot, which means that they normally would feel otherwise, or their shita would be the opposite of what the pasuk's telling them to do. When it comes to Korech, the poskim discuss many issues. One of the issues that they discuss is what exactly is included in the Korech. That happens in Machloket Rishonim, whether the Korech includes only matzah and maror, or does it include achilat matzah, maror, and Pesach together? There are different schot and hagadot. Many times the word Pesach is in parentheses. That's related to this machloket harishonim. It might be that they're relying on the different psukim. The pasuk in Shmot Perek Yud Bet says v'achlu et basar b'leila zeh tzliyesh, and then it says u'matzot ha'marim yochlu. Sounds only like the matzot and marim are together, not the basar necessarily. But in Bidbar Tiberik Tet, when it talks about Pesach Sheni, over there it says about b'chodesh Sheni b'arba'asa yom b'arba'a mitzvot al matzot and marim yochlu, that you do together with the matzot and marim, which sounds like the Pesach is wrapped together with the matzot and marim. So that might be the difference in the Rishonim, might relate to this fact about how or which of the psukim is governing or guiding us as to this issue. In addition to that, there are questions about, first of all, do you need Haseba for Korech? Do you need to do Tvila B'charoset for Korech? How do you say the Zech and the Mikdash Kehillel before you've eaten the Korech? You made a Brocha before the Matzah and the Mora beforehand, and now you're eating the Korech afterwards. How do you say something in between? How are you Mafsik? The Mishnah Berurah and the Berel Ocha does not like that at all. Whereas the Rechav Edad, Rav Yosef, defends the position of the Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to say Zecher the Mikdash Kehillel. All of these dinim relate to how we view the Shita of Hillel. Do we say that Mikra Din, the Shita of Hillel, is also held by the Chachamim, and therefore we should treat it fully like a full din? Or do we say that, no, the Shita of Hillel we just do as a nice thing in case the Halacha is like Hillel? But even Hillel agrees, B'diyeved, whatever we do with the Chachamim, you're Yotze. When you eat the Matzah L'chud, the Marah L'chud, Hillel would agree to that. It's just that, he said in the Chatchila, do it this way. So therefore, maybe you would not eat all the trappings that you would need by the Matzah and the Maror. So I'm going to send out the Mikorot, and you can look through them and see all these interesting issues that come up with Korech. Anyway, from this, take away from this that mitzvot are not mevatlo zuadzu, so too, isurim will not be mevatlo zuadzu. Tosfos over here asks a question, he has a question, he doesn't have an answer to it. He says, we know on the kasavar, im mitzvot mevatlo zuadzu. How do you know for sure that it's im mitzvot mevatlo zuadzu? Do my elokech harbe mikol echad vechad. Maybe we take a lot of matzah and a lot of maror. Tichai gabna lo mevatel. In that case, there's no bittel. You take a lot, could appreciate, but as I explained above, if you take a lot of both of them, then there's no bittul. The only time there's bittul is when it's overwhelmed, the flavor is overwhelmed by one of the two. But if you took a lot of both, maybe it wouldn't be overwhelmed. Tosfos just leaves it as a question. Does not answer that question. What's the deal for the Gemara here? Obviously, the other possible answer is that that doesn't work. I mean, that even though Tosfos suggests that, maybe that's not true. Maybe that doesn't work. Right, that's the end of this little piece.
What about chashuv? All this, you know, we have tarovis with chashuv.
No, when it's two doraitas, or it's two drabonons, then it's just a simply halachic question. Ein mitzvot mevat lo zuadzu. They're not, they're both chashuvim, so therefore they're not mevat. The problem is when you have an inequality between a doraita and drabonon, there we say, right, so then we say the drabonon, which doesn't belong there, is going to ruin the doraita. When you're dealing with the objective halacha, you're right, because then it'll be doraita, we don't care about the tam, you're doing what you're supposed to do, that's fine. But here we have a doraita and drabonon, where there's that inequality, and then we're going to say that it's mevat. And you have a problem, unless you have the Tam Matzah there. And the problem we're afraid of is that the Maror will come and wipe out the Tam of the Matzah. So now, Tosos here, there's a big Tosos here, Amar Rabbanon B'taimu. And Tosos says over here that Rabbah listed out here three different types of qualifications. He said Tam, he said Ruv, and then he said Chazuta. So Tam is for Min She'enu Mino, and Ruv is for Min B'mino. Now, he says, wait a minute. When Rabbah says that it goes after the Tam, why doesn't he say, if you look at just that Tosfos, Amar Rabbanon B'taimu, Mitzaloka Kat B'shishim O B'meya, Mashmi Midoraita Arishu B'taimu, that there's a difference between 60 to 1 or 100 to 1. When Rava says B'taimu, he says literally with taste, and doesn't give you the terminology that's used, you know, throughout Shas, which is Batal B'shishim. What's Shishim come from? We thought that Shishim came from the flavoring or the taste. That Shishim to 1, there is no flavor. Or even Meya Le'achad, because there'll be no more flavor. Rava never mentions those measurements. All he says is taima, that there's some sort of taste or flavor, objective flavor. He says, V'chei mashma le'el, d'damki gar d'oraito. D'damki gar d'oraito, and not a din here of shishim or a din of meyo that we're talking about, which is a din d'rabbanon. Here it seems like we're talking about that there's some sort of din in flavor that is d'oraito. And then he brings a question from Rashi in Perek Yedad Noshe, who suggests that the ikar of tam is only a din d'rabbanon. And tam tiki ikar is all a din d'rabbanon, not a din d'oraita. And Tosfos says, I don't think so. I think from here that it is a din d'oraita. So Tosfos spends a lot of time here explaining that the tam, he thinks, is a din d'oraita, not like Rashi thinks the tam d'rabbanon. And then he has to answer up all the places in Shas where it sounds like it is d'rabbanon and not d'oraita. You should just be aware that machloket here about how to explain when we say tam. To me, tam is something that was instituted by the Rabbanon, that's something that is imposed by the Rabbanon,
Or is that something that has an ikar midoraita? That's a Torah law about tam. And the Tosafot says from here, I think that tam is a din doraita. That's what you see from Rava. Rava's not explaining over here a din d'rabbanan. He's explaining a din d'oraita. So now the Gemara continues. Harchasan shel zav v'zava. You have a urinal of a zav or zava. This is a kli cheres that's used for urinating into. Pam rishon v'sheni tamei shlishi tahor. The first and second time it'll be tamei. The third time it'll be tahor. Pame damrim amurim. What are we talking about here? Shenatan l'tocho mayim. And you place water in it to rinse it out. Aval lo natan l'tocho mayim afili asiri tamei. But if you did not use water, then even the tenth time will be tamei.
Time of what?
We'll see in a second. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer. Shlishi. The third time. Af pish natan l'tocho mayim tahor. Even if you didn't use water, then it is tahor. Man shmaile. Who's the one who taught us? De min b'mino lo batil. Who's the one who taught us that when it comes to min b'mino, it's not batil? Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda. What's going on? Herzvi says, what's happening here? We have this urinal of azav azava. Anything that is expelled by azav azava, spit, urine, any liquid that comes out of them is tameh. And it's tameh be avatuma. So their urine, when it goes into the urinal, is tameh be avatuma. That liquid or that urine is now inside of a kli cheres. What do we know about a kli cheres? Kli cheres is very absorbent, and you can't just kasher a kli cheres. You can't just rinse it out and it'll be fine. How do you kasher a kli cheres? Well, if it's used with chamin, if it's used with hot, there's no way to clear it out anymore. But if it's used only with cold, we learned this in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, you rinse it out three times. You rinse it out three times. There it talks about waiting 24 hours between each time. You have to be ma'areh to pour it out. You put, fill it up, pour it out, pour it up, pour it out over a 24-hour period each time. So there's a way to clear it out. So over here, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to clear this urinal out of the urine, or that's anything that's inside of the kli cheres to be metaheret. So how do we do that? So the Mar says, b'med b'morim is when you use water. You put water in and rinse it out that three times, you do that, that clears out the urinal. Because we have a case of min shebe'enu mino. Water versus urine, which is min she'enu mino, which happens to be helpful for Tosfos' position. In yesterday's daf, Rashi called mei raglayim mino shamayim. He called it water. Tosfot, on the other hand, says that it's min she'enu mino, and he called it, it has to be kiluhu yayin. This sounds, and one of the proofs is from here. Here the Gemara says that urine and water are min she'enu mino. So now min she'enu mino, if that's the case, I can come along and have it be mivatel. That the water that you put in over here, that once it is absorbed, it will ruin or take away or absorb the tam of the urine and wipe it out. Because it can be, min, she'enu mino, can be mevatel. On the other hand, if that's the case, then if you used urine, say for instance, someone who is tahor, urinated into the urinal three times, would that help you? The answer over here is no, because that's min, bimino. Min, bimino, you can't clear it out. It's not mevatel the other tam. The only time tam is mevatel is when you're talking about min she'enu mino. But when we talk about min b'mino, tam is not relevant. The difference between the two of them is not relevant, and it cannot be mevatel echad et sheni. Along comes Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, says no. Even if it's the third time, if you urinate in there three times, even if you didn't use water, tahor. Why is it tahor? Min b'mino lo batil. Who's the one who says that when it goes to min b'mino, it's not automatically batel, they don't automatically join forces and stay together, that it can be mebatel? Who's that? That is Rabbi Yehuda. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the one who says min b'mino lo batel? Who's the author of this position who disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says here that you can use min b'mino and be mevatel it. Who's the author of the position says that min b'mino is not mevatel? Well, we have that. That's Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Gamliel who says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer, mishum Rabbi Gamliel, ein dam mevatel dam, ein rok mevatel rok, ben meiraglayim, mevatlim, meiraglayim. That was a statement Rabbi Yehuda brought in the shem Rabbi Gamliel. So who's the author of this position, who's the Tana Kama of this position? Right, who says you need water and you can't use urine? That is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Ben Yaakov says, no, even b'mino, it can be mevatel. Now what's interesting here, I don't know if you remember, it's a sugya back in Avodah Zarah. Gemara in Avodah Zarah asked about a question, it was on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. There's a sugya over there about a kos, and it says, Pam Rishon, Pam Sheni, Pam Shlishi. Over there, Rashi explained, Pam Rishon, Pam Sheni, was that the Goy used it the first and second time, the cup, and then the Jew used it the third time. The Rabbeinu Tam took issue with Rashi over there. He says, it's not what this Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about Pam Rishon, Pam Sheni, Pam Shlishi is how many times you rinsed it out. The first time you rinsed it out, the second time you rinsed it out, it's not kasher. The third time you rinsed it out, it is kasher to use. And he says, my proof is from right here. That's exactly how they understand the Gemara here. Rishon, Cheney, and Shlishi is talking about the number of times that you rinsed it out, not the number of times that the Goy used the item, or here, the Zav used the item. It doesn't matter how many times the Zav uses it. We're talking about the cleansing process. The three times deals with the cleansing, not about how it became problematic. So that's it. Rabbi Natan just brings down that here is a proof to me that this is such is the case. He also says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we know, Mishnato Kavinaki. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara says that his Mishnah is Kavinaki, and therefore we always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And there is, he says, Mikan Rayel Rabbi Natan, Demimimino, Batel. The Mimimino is Batel. Over here, the Kaimalan, Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Kavinaki, and Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Ein Raglaim Vato Mirai Raglaim. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, yes it is, Mevatel. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm going to paskin this. I paskin that way, which is, Min Bimino is Batel. Verminu, we have a question. Pishtan, Shetavato Nida Misito, Tohor. Pishtan that she was weaving with, Misito, one who does Masa, Misa shakes it or moves it, is Tahor, because we assume that it's dried out, and therefore it's not a problem. V'imayalach, on the other hand, if it was moist still, this saliva, the spit that you put there, misito, if you move it, tamei, because one who is masa, one who carries the rope of a nida, is tamei. So if it's moist, it's called a rope, it's called saliva. If it's dry, it's not called saliva. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, avaro dvoba mayim tamei, even the one who moistens it, not because it's moist internally, or because it's saliva, but rather after dried up, and then you added water to it to moisten it up, then you are tamei, because of the saliva that came out of her mouth. But even tuva, you put a lot of water there. But that's a problem, because we just saw, we said Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the previous Tosefta that we just said before, he's the Tanakama. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda only disagreed when it was Miraglaim and Miraglaim. That min b'mino is not the vatel. But he agrees when you put water in there, that min she'enu mino is mevatel. Over here, you have water and saliva. That's min she'enu mino, and we saw that yesterday as well. Because when it came to the Mishnah mikvaot, if he had rope, if he had spit inside of the kli, it was chatzitza. It was a chatzitza, and you couldn't put that into the mikveh. It didn't matter how much water you put in there. The spit was considered to be a chatzitza. So there we know that spit and water are, or saliva and water are separate entities. Min sheino mino. So how come over here you can put as much water as you want to moisten out the saliva, and we don't say it's batel? Why not? Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's batel when you have min sheino mino. So I'm a papa, shiny rope, the career. Rope is unusual because it is career. So what Rashi says that nichnas b'shtam b'chazakah. It holds tight into the pishtan because shelat seitz, it doesn't come out easily. When it comes to urine in the urinal, inside of the kli cheres, it's no better, it doesn't stick to the kli cheres any more than the water does. Saliva has a property that it holds tight or sticks or is absorbed much more so into the pishtan. And therefore, when you put a lot of water on it, it may moisten the saliva but it doesn't take it away. It's unusual. Saliva has that unusual property that it doesn't come off easily. Amino, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's batel. This is an unusual circumstance of roke or saliva, spit, where we say that it doesn't wash away so easily and therefore it's not batel. Next case. So we discussed this yesterday when we saw the Mishnah. The blood of Zvachim that got mixed together with Dam Psulim, Ishafech Le'ama, we poured into the Yama. We said yesterday when we read the Mishnah, that's only Gzeira D'Rabbana. Mi Gardin, Mi D'Oraita, it should be no different than the Dam Behema Chulim. If you have Dam Zvachim that gets mixed with Dam Chulim, Behema Chulim, the Tanakama over there says that you go after the Mareh. You check the Mareh. Ki'ilu Humayi. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and says, Ain Dam Avatal Dam. Doesn't matter how little there is. Dam is Dam Avatal Dam, you can put it on the Mizbech. That Tzipa is always there. It's always considered to be there. Then all of a sudden we come along, we say if the dam kashir got mixed with the dam pasul, no good. Spill it out. No good. Why is dam pasul any different than a dam of a chayach a behemat chulim? They both don't belong there. They're both dam. Why should the din be different? The answer is ain ochanami. The din isn't different, but there's a gzera drab on one. So we said, there's a gzera drab that applies to dam sulim. Well, if it applies to dam sulim, why doesn't it apply to dam behemat? So that's what we have to explain. We have to explain what the gzera is. That's a machlokas amarayim we're about to get into.
Why doesn't it apply to dam pasul too?
Dam behemat chulim, which would be kashir. Dam sulim means something that's pasul, the coat that can't be put on his back, like a rova and a nirba, something that's dam psulim. Behema chulin is something that could have been kosher to go on the mizbeach, just happens to be chulin, it's not kochim. The pasul means something that cannot be brought, no matter what you do to it, it can't be brought on the mizbeach. Right, so now, where it says, b'mai kemiflege, what's the machlokus over here? Machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer, who afterwards is machshir, and the Tanakamu says that it is ishafech le'yama. So Amar of Zvid, b'gozrin gzei rabbi migdash kemiflege. They're arguing about whether you make gzeirot in the Mikdash or not. The Marzava Guzrin. Marzava Lo Guzrin. Do we make gzeirot in the Mikdash or not? The Rashi says, what does it mean gzeira, but gozing gzeira Mikdash? Imosim sayag bekochim. Do we make some sort of boundary in Kochim to stop people from violating an Aveira? We don't worry about the loss of Kochim caused by this Gezerah Derabbanan. Because you're losing out on these items because you're trying to prevent people from doing something else. Over here we're saying you have Dam Tzlim and Dam of Kasherim that are mixed together. It's really Kasher. And we're going to say make it Pasol because we don't want people to come and think that you can bring Dam Sulim ala Mizbeach. So the Tanakh Kama says, Gozrim, Hilkach mitarev dam kashir b'dam pasul, dam tamzit, afo pishin b'psul. Ella, there's nothing there, it's a little bit there. It's not enough. Tevatel at the kashir, yishafech liyama. Gzeira dilma, ati liyakshure. Nami hecha deyesh b'dam pasul, b'dam tamzit, kedei tevatel at the kashir. So what we're going to say, even though the rov in this case is the kashir, and the dam tamzit and the dam psul is batel, and you can put it on Mizbeach, no problem. We say, don't do it. Why? They will allow you to do it this case. Someone's going to forget the next time and they're going to say, oh, if the robe is dam pasul and the robe is dam tamzit, we can put it on the mizbeach. We saw before when you have a mixture of those two, put them on the mizbeach. But they won't realize that in this case it's because that was the miut that we allowed you to do it. But if it was the case where it was the robe, the dam tamzit and the dam pasul, there you can't do it. So because of that, we say, zero, don't put it on because we're afraid people make that mistake. Why don't we make that same zero? You made it by dam tamzit, you made it by dam pasulim, why don't you make it by dam? Why don't you make the same zera? Says the answer up is lo shchiche. Dam behemat chulin in the mikdash is not something that is shchiach. Aval psulim, to find psulim in the mikdash, that is shchiach. And also dam tamzit is shchiach because there's more dam tamzit than there is dam nefesh, and therefore it's very shchiach. So therefore, we made the gzera in instances where it's going to happen, where you're going to get these types of mix-ups. That's where the Chachamim made their gzera. But otherwise, by behemat chulin, which is something an unusual circumstance, over there they didn't make such a gzera. So Rabbi Eliezer, so our ankle dream, that the Rabbi Eliezer believes there is no such gzera in the Mikdash, because the Chachamim don't want you to lose out on Kochim now to prevent the mistake in the future. You're going to throw out good Kochim now in order to prevent people from making a mistake in the future. And therefore, what do? The only time it's going to be Pasul is if there's enough in the Psul that it would change the Mareh. It would change the appearance of the mixture. Had it been Mayim, it would have changed the Mareh. That's the determining factor, just like we had it by Behemat Chulin, the same way that we had it by Behemat Chulin. The determining factor is appearance, so to over here, the determining factor will be appearance. Then the Gemara says, that is Rav Zvid's explanation. Rav Papa Amar, Kukuli Amar Gozrin. Rav Papa says, no, everybody agrees that we are Gozer, because this is a Milta de Shchicho. It's normal. These are the types of mixtures that are normal. Therefore, the Chachamim wanted to prevent such mistakes from happening in the Mikdash. And therefore, he says that everybody agrees that there is Gzera here. So then what's their Machlokas about? V'halcha b'dama tamzit matsui l'raboto dama nefesh kamitlige. They're arguing about whether there is such a case, or is it normal, or is it common that the dama tamzit will exceed the dama nefesh. The whole reason to be gozer over here is because we're afraid that in the future, if we allow you to do it here when it's the miut, you'll do it when it's the rov. The question is there such a circumstance? Can dama tamzit really be more than the dama nefesh? Or is that a frequent occurrence? Marzavar shchiach. One says, the Tana Kama says, that is common. It's common that the Dama Tamzit will exceed the Dama Nefesh. Therefore, the Chachamim were gozer in that case. Omar Sabar, lo shchiach. It is not common. So now, the difference between them will be, what's the nafkamina between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa? Is where the machlokes between the Chachamim, but then Tana Kama and Rabbi Eliezer, who's machshiritz. According to Rav Zvid, Rabbi Eliezer argues both on Dam Sulim and Dama Tamzit. It's a fundamental question of whether we make gzeira in the Mikdash. Do we cause hefsed in the Mikdash in order to prevent a mistake in the future? The Tanakh Kama says yes. Rabbi Eliezer says no. And that will apply both to Dam Pasul and Dam Tamzit. On the other hand, according to Rav Papa, their argument is only about the case of Dam Tamzit. By Dam Pasulim, Rabbi Eliezer will agree that we make a gzeira, because everybody agrees to make gzeira in the Mikdash. The Machlokas only is about the case of Dam Tamzit. Whether this Dam Tamzit is more like the case of Behemat Chulin, or is it more like the case of Dam Sulim? Dam Sulim is Shkiach. Dam Behemat Chulin is not Shkiach. And the Machlokas is it common that Dam Tamzit will exceed the Dam Nefesh? And there's the question, whether we make Gzera or not, has to do with Shkichut. And that's the Machlokas over there. That means that Rabbi Eliezer is only arguing on the case of Dam Tamzit. He would agree with Dam Sulim. So now, the Gemara says, Bishlamah, Now we can say l'rapop behind me diktani nitarei b'dam absolim yishafeich le'ama. B'dam absolim yishafeich le'ama. According to Rapapa, I can understand why the Mishnah put them into two separate bavot. It's at first, it gives you the halacha of dam psulim. Then it gives you the exact same halacha, but it says about dam tamtzit. Why? Because Rabbi Lezer only argues on dam tamtzit. He doesn't argue on dam pasul. But for Rav Zvid, why did the Mishnah separate them? Rav Zvid, l'arbinu v'litnu kashu. For Rav Zvid, they should be brought together. You should have said dam psulim v'dam tamtzit. Their din is exactly the same, and Rabbi Lezer argues on both of those cases. Why did the Mishnah separate them into two cases? There's no reason to separate them. Rav says, Kasha, that's a good question, Rav Zvid's position. All right, now, Tosafot takes a big issue with Rashi over here as to what the Gzeirah is in the Mikdash. Rashi says over here, the lema that plige beroe, the machlokis over here, about the Gzeirah, is whether we allow there to be a Gzeirah in the Mikdash that will cause a soul to something that's otherwise kosher to protect something in the future. All right, so the Tosafot of Hachi Garsinan. That's Hachi Garsinan, the Marsovrim Gozrim. In the Farish, the Gazrin and Hecha de Im Bedam Absolim Kedevel Etel Kasher, Auto Hecha de Ishbo Kedevatel Kasher. If you explain like Rashi, that's a very different, difficult explanation. Deem came niflo Rabbi Yehuda b'ha. If that's the case, why is it that only Rabbi Lezer argues here? Even Rabbi Yehuda should argue over here. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, aim dam evatel dam. If we say that the question at hand here is, we're going there in a case where it's the miut, in case it'll be the rove. Well, if it's the rove, what's the problem? Well, you're going to say that it's batel. And if it's batel, then you can't put it on the mizbeach. Well, we have Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who says, ain't dam levatel dam, period. Dam is never levatel dam. Irrespective if it's the rove or the miut, no matter how much is there, it's always good. The kosher dam is good. So why is it that only Rabbi Eliezer is arguing on the Tanakh over there? Rabbi Yehuda should also argue in there. Why don't we bring Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda should argue in that piece of the Mishnah. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue in that piece of the Mishnah shows you that that can't be the chashash over here. That cannot be the gzeirah. Ella, what's the gzeirah according to the Tosafot? Ella halchah gazrinan. Dilma ati lechshuri dam absulim lezrikah be'einayu b'chein dam atamsit. What we're afraid of here is if we allow you to put them on the mizbeach as a mixture, we're afraid then you'll come to put them on the mizbeach without a mixture. If we say that dam atamsit together with dam kshirim you put on the mizbeach, then someone's going to make a mistake and say, oh, okay, just put dam absol or dam atamsit right on the mizbeach. I did it last time. He won't realize that he did it last time. It was mixed with dam akasher, and therefore you'll put it on straight onto the mizbeach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a good gzeirah. Because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, ein dam levatel dam. That's when you have a mixture. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if it comes beinayu, if it's by itself, then you can't put that on the mizbeach. That's why Rabbi Yehuda would not disagree with that gzeirah. Rabbi Yehuda, even who says ein dam levatel dam, it's not relevant to this gzeirah over here. The question simply is, do we go there on the mixture? Because maybe you'll come to do it alone. For that reason, Tosu says, that's the gzeirah that we're speaking about over here. But he says, mi ul rapapa, according to rapapa, who says, v'dama tamsit matsu the rabot. You can't say that that's the gezerah. If you say that when we're talking about dama nefesh, dama tamsit is greater than the dama nefesh, clear there that the gezerah is about whether the rove of the pasul will wipe out the nefesh. The dama tamsit will wipe it out. So my explanation also says works well for Rav Zvi. But in Rav Papa's explanation, I don't know, I can't read it that way because there it's clearly talking about rove and not talking about whether you're going to do it be'inayu. Says over there, that gzeira is not relevant to Rabbi Yehuda because that's min b'mino, and therefore it should be nitbatel according to Rav Papa. Then the Gemara said, in our Gemara it says, Rav Papa amar dekuli amale gozrin. Everybody agrees that they make a gzeira according to Rav Papa, and then the machlokes is about whether dam matzit is meruba. That's our yerser in our Gemara. V'rabbeinu tam matza b'sfarim yishanim, he found in old books, the kuli alma ain gozrin. Everybody agrees there is no gzeira. Umufaresh, in gozrim doma ata lemisurke beinei. That's what it means. Pali Tosus Lashitato says that's what Rav Papa meant. Kuli alma ain gozrim. We're not gozer because of the mixture up to that you'll do it by itself. What's the machlokas about? Machlokas about is one mixture to another mixture. And that's how we explain Rav Papa. Farash in gozrim doma ata lemisurke beinei, dablo ati mite, vahasrin sulim gozrim mute ata rov. It's a gzeira of a mute ata rov. So Tosus, to solve that problem, that his explanation won't fit into Rav Papa, Beinu Tam found a different gersa in the Gemara. And he says that's the difference between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. They're arguing about what the gzeirah was. According to Rav Zvid, the gzeirah was about don't put the mixture on because you might do it by itself afterwards. Along comes Rav Papa and says, "Kulei ma in gozrim." We're never gozer for such a situation. Nobody's going to get mixed up between a mixture and doing it by itself. What we're gozer for is, we're gozer a miut up to when it's the rov. That's Rav Papa's disagreeing. He says that we're not gozer like you, Rav Zvid, we're gozer like I did. And that's how Tosfos explains it. He explains Rav Papa like Rashi, and explains Rav Zvid like his Shita, and the difference between them will be the kulei ma in gozrim is based on this Yirsa of the Rabbeinu Tam that says that's the switch between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. So then, why is it that Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rav Papa, agrees by psulim? Why does he only disagree by the dam tamzit and not by dam psulim? Is because it's shchiche. That's a case of shchiche. He's going to say dam psulim is shchiche. Dam tamzit is not shchiche. And therefore he's machshir by the dam tamzit, whereas he's not machshir by the dam psulim. And Tosfos writes about this. Per zim mishune says this is a strange explanation. V'sugya zu mishune. This is a difficult sugya. V'girsa desparim ikar. And let's stick with the original girsa desparim. That's a very difficult explanation, after all. That's an interesting way that Tosfos ends up
rejecting that.
Sounds like he's rejecting Rabbeinu Tam's explanation here of changing that girsa. But it's interesting that he would do so. You know, after all that. And we'll just do the Mishnah quickly, and we'll continue with that Gemara tomorrow. It says, "Dam tmimim b'dam balei mumim." If you have dam of gezvachim kshevim that are mixed up with dam balei mumim, shafech le'ama, pour it out to the ama. Kos b'kosot. If it's one cup with other cups, then this is the same thing we saw before when the Ivarim got mixed up. Rabbi Elazar Omer in Karev Kos Echad. If one of the Kosot already had the dam sprinkled on Mizbeach, Karvu Kol HaKosot. Then you put the remainder of the Kosot on Mizbeach, because we assume the one that went out was the Pasul, and therefore everything else that you're doing is Heter. Chamim Amim, Afilu Karvu Kulan. Even if all the Kosot were done, Chutz Me'achad Mehem, except one of them, Yishafech Lema, you spill it out, because we're always Choshesh that the one that's left over is the Pasul. Hanitanin Lamato, Shinitavu Minitanin Lamalo. If you had blood that got mixed up between a korban whose blood is placed lamata, meaning shtayim shein rabban, the base of the mizbeach, and dam lamala that was put on the base on the top of the mizbeach, like the dam of a chatat, the dam olah, which is shtayim shein rabban, is put on the lower half of the mizbeach, the dam of a chatat that's put on the upper half of the mizbeach. The lezer may retain the mala to put it on the top of the mizbeach. As Rabbi Elazar says, the same type of principle. We look at it as if it's water. That we take the upper blood on the top, and we say the blood that from the bottom, when we sprinkle it on the top, it's like water, and it makes no difference. So the dam yonim get to where they need to be, and the dam from the mata won't interfere, because we'll just say it's like it's water over there. Then, you'll do the other one, and then again, you tame the mata, and you place it on the lower half of the mizbeach. The lower half of the mizbeach, we don't have to say it looks like water, because even the dam achatat, after you finish sprinkling on the upper half, has to be sharia dam, the remaining dam, so pour it to the yisod. That's end up in the yisod, the mizbeach. So when you do this sprinkling on the lower half, if it's dam olah, then it's good for the korban olah. If it's the dam achatat that's getting sprinkled, that's the equivalent of being sharia dam, being shofech or nishpach, la yisod mizbeach. That's the way Rabbi Elazar says, v'chamim yomim, yishafech le'ama. Chamim say the same thing over here, that once you have this mixture, you can't do this. We don't say, ro'ino toki ilu. Rashi points out to us, why did you do the chatat b'malah first, and then the olah l'mato? He says, mipnei mitzvah lakdim el yonim l'tachtonim. Because we have a general principle that the blood above goes before the blood below. That chatat always goes before an olah. Now, v'im lo nimlach, if the kohen didn't ask us a question, v'natan, and he did the avodah anyway, kasher, then that avodah is kasher. Shita Megvetzit over here asks, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda argues in our Mishnah that we just brought before, that ein dam vatal dam? That when you have min b'mino, it's ein dam vatal dam, and you can put on mizbech no matter what the quantities are. As long as there's some dam kasher there, it's fine. So why is it Rabbi Yehuda found in our Mishnah here with dam tmimim and dam balei mumim? Why isn't he arguing over here where it's min b'mino? Why isn't we have Rabbi Yehuda come along and say, ein dam vatal dam? So the Shita Megvetzit says there's a difference between this Mishnah and the Mishnah before. In the Mishnah before, we're talking about a mixture of dam behemat chulin with dam kodeshim. There, if you put on the mizbeach, we say, well, ain't dam avatal dam, and the dam behemat chulin is not maleo morid. It's like a mayim, and we don't worry about it. But over here, you have dam bali mumim. And you look in the Shita Megubetzet, it's in Shita Megubetzet, Aut Chavdalet. He says, v'hadalo polik b'seifa b'nit'ari b'dam bali mumim, v'ahu moded mishum d'me'isei. It's disgusting. It's inappropriate. It's not something that you put on the mizbeach. So therefore, even though ain dam vatal dam min b'mino, nevertheless, there's a secondary consideration, which is that since this is dam balei mumim, we're not allowing you, or we're not going to allow you to place it onto the mizbeach. Now the Mishnah continues on the top of Peyomet Aleph. Hanitanim b'matana achat, shinitarvu minitanim b'matana achat. You have two different carbonot that both require a single matana on the mizbeach. For instance, a maser and b'chor, they got mixed up. Inatanu b'matana achat, then that's what you do. You do a matana achat, because they're balul, they're mixed together over here. Since they're mixed together, you put the one matan dam on there, it'll be fine. Matan arba. If you have something that has a requirement of shtayim shen arba, and shtayim shen arba, you have an olah that gets mixed up with the shlamim, or olah gets mixed up with an asham. Over there, you do shtayim shen arba, you not nu b'matan arba, you do shtayim shen arba, and you'll be fine. Matan arba, matana achat. What happens if you have a shtayim shen arba that gets mixed up with a matana achat, an olah that gets mixed up with the bechor and maser? So now one of them requires matanah dam, shtayim shen arba, one requires matana achat. But let's omer, you not nu b'matan arba, do shtayim shen arba. Rabbi Shua Mary, Nanu Benatana Achat. Rabbi Shua says, do one matana. Amalo Rabbi Lezer, how are you over? Al Bal Tigra. When you only put one matana, you have a deficit of a second matana. The Olah requires two matanot. The Bechor, the Maser, only requires one matana. So what do? You take the mixture, you do one matana. So for Bechor Maser, you're fine, you're done. But for the Olah, you only did one. Now, Bidi Eben, one matana is okay. But for Chatchila, you're really supposed to put two on. So here you're doing Baal Tigra. You're going intentionally and placing one matana on the Mizbeach. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, Hari Over Al Baal Tosif. The way you solve the problem is to say you put two sprinklings on. Well, you say put two sprinklings on, so fine, for the Olah, that's fine, Shtayim Shein Arba. But for the Bechor and the Maser, when you do the second sprinkling, that's Baal Tosif. You're adding an extra matana that is not required for the Bechor and the Maser. And obviously, Rabbi Yeshua does not hold the Rabbi Lezer's position that Roina Tokilu Mayim. We don't say that the additional sprinkling is the Dam that doesn't belong there. It's like Mayim. It's Dam, it's going on Mizbech, it looks like Baal Tosif. Amalei Rabbi Lezer, Lona Mar Baal Tosif, El Shubatzmo. Baal Tosif only applies when there's no mixture of the blood. When the blood is by itself, and then you do two matanot when you're supposed to do one, that's Baal Tosif. So Amarle Rabbi Yeshua, so I could say the same to you. No namar Baal Tigra, let's shoot that smell. Baal Tigra only applies when you have the blood by itself. You're supposed to do two, and you only do one, that's Baal Tigra. But here where it's a mixture also. But oh, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, and this is the trump card that Rabbi Yeshua pulls out. Kishinatata avarta Baal Tosif. When you add the additional matana, you violate Baal Tosif. Ba'asita ma'aseh b'yodecha, and you did that actively. You are actively violating Baal Tosif. Uf shalonatato, if you abstain from putting on the second matana, avarta Baal Tigra, you're right, you might be over Baal Tigra, ba'asita ma'aseh b'yodecha, but you did it passively. And we prefer, if you have a choice between actively violating an aveira or passively violating the aveira, we're going to say shei b'al ta'aseh is better. Do nothing, and we prefer that situation. So over here, we have a choice of putting two on or putting one on. If I put two on, I violate Baal Tosif. I put one on, I violate Baal Tigra. Which is the better option? Well, the better option is Baal Tigra, because that's done passively. I put the one matano, I'm Yotzei, both Karmenot are Yotzei with matana achat. The Baal Tigra that I should have put two on for it, I don't do anything. I'm abstaining. So I'm doing that through a passively, I'm violating Baal Tigra. On the other hand, Baal Tosif, if I put too much note on, true, it helps with the Olah, but as far as the Bechor Maser, that's an extra, but I'm doing a Maser B'Yadayim. That second matono is a Maser B'Yadayim, and that's problematic. All right, we'll stop over here and continue with the Gemara tomorrow.